Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website. And I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 65. I'm recording it on Monday, December 29th, 2008. The PE10 level today is 15. That's fair value. Stocks purchased at today's prices offer a strong long-term value proposition. The title of this podcast is The Stock Market, The Respectable Ponzi Scheme. I have been planning to do a podcast on this topic for some time. It's on a list. I keep a list of titles, and it's hard to get to them all. There have been so much going on in recent months, but I've had this on the list. But this morning, I saw at bogleheads.org, the discussion board there, a thread discussing this very topic, and that was exciting from several different standpoints. One, it's exciting for purposes of recording this podcast, because what I'm going to do through much of the podcast is just go through comments that were filed on that thread and you know, comment on them, respond to them. But that gives the podcast much more life, because instead of just hearing Rob Bennett's views, you're hearing the views of a community of people interested in how investing works. So that gives it a lot more life and a lot more diversity and a lot more color. But much more important, I just have to say, since the price crash that occurred earlier this year, the Bogleheads.org board has a, you know, it has a wonderful history in a way. It's a wonderful discussion board, and it has been for many years. And it also has a very dark history. Honest posting on safe withdrawal rates was banned there when the board was at the foundation of the board, actually. This board was founded as a way of passive investing dogmatists that wanted to escape the Morningstar.com site, where Morningstar was permitting honest posting on safe withdrawal rates and other valuation questions. And these people formed this board to escape that. And of course, banned me, you know, as the very first step. That was the very first thing they did. They said, we will never allow Hocus to post at this board. And they banned a number of other people who were popular, you know, posters at Vanguard Diehards. Well, since the price crash, there's been a big change. And there was a guy who commented on this at the Vanguard Diehards board. Every now and then people try to get it started up again. And there was a guy who commented on this change there a week or two ago, Tar42, his screen name is. And he said, it's a shame that the Bogleheads left, because if they were allowing the level of honest posting that they're permitting today over at their own board, there never would have been a problem here. There never would have been any of these smear campaigns or, you know, deception post or intimidation post or any of that ugliness. And that's all true. The Bogleheads .org board is, I've been recommending it for some time, but I've always had to recommend it with great reservations because of the censorship that applies and the limits on posting and the tactics used to limit posting. But as time goes on, this board is very much moving in the right direction. It's a powerful resource. There are lots and lots of smart people there. And the owners, I don't know what's going on inside their heads, of course. I presume that one of the things that's going on is that they don't feel that they can limit things to the extent they could before, because people have suffered such tremendous losses that people are just up in arms. People want answers. And they're not allowing, they can't get away with the level of censorship they could get away with before. I certainly think that's a factor. However, I am shocked and amazed that this particular thread was able to go up at that board. And I almost feel that at this point, the owners are going beyond what I thought was possible in this short amount of time. So I want to give them credit. I applaud them. For this change, I want to reach out the hand of friendship to the owners of the Bogleheads.org board. At some point, I'm going to send an email and ask that I be permitted to post there, and that we should be talking about all the tools we've developed, that the retire early and indexing discussion board communities, the stock return predictor and the retirement risk evaluator and the scenario surfer and the buy and hold reality checker and valuation informed indexing and the rational investing model, the podcast, all these things should be up for discussion, because these were all things that were developed by the community as a whole, not just by Rob Bennett. You know, they have my name on them. I'm the one that, you know, in a direct sense, developed these things. But all of them are the product of interaction with thousands and thousands of my fellow community members. So all of these things should be discussed at that board. And that board has played a big role in our development of all these insights. A huge role. I posted at the Vanguard Diehards board for close to 2 years on a daily basis. And I would like to see all the people who were banned, you know, reinstated. John Walter Russell, myself, John D. Craig, Mike Rolepsis, Insurance Guy. I'm sure there were others, you know, whose names I don't know. I would like to see all those people reinstated. I would like to see the welcome mat put out for others with similar views that can help us understand investing. And I would like to see all of the acrimony brought to an end. And I'd like to see the experts get involved in our efforts to, you know, there are experts that participate in that community. John Bogle, Bill Bernstein, Larry Swedrow, Rick Furry. Let's get these people involved. Let's do what we can to mine the insults and to help people learn how to invest effectively and to treat each other with respect and affection and with a positive spirit move forward and learn our lessons from this price crash, not see it as something, this horrible thing that, you know, that happened to us, this tornado that descended on our community. Let's see it as an event that has helped us learn. I want to bring things in that direction. I'm not sure it's quite the time. I don't think the time is quite right yet to send that email, but this thread makes me think that time is coming. It's a very exciting thread. I applaud the owners of the board, including Mel Lindauer, for letting that thread stay up. And I have to say, there are people on both points of view are expressed. There are people who, the name of the thread is, let me see. The name of the thread is Vanguard a Ponzi Scheme? There are people in the thread who agree with that premise. And there are others who disagree. And that's, of course, healthy. That's a good thing. If everyone agreed with the person who wrote the kickoff post, it would be a boring thread. It's great that we have people from both sides, but what is so wonderful is that there is no abusive posting on this thread. People are expressing their views, and they're doing so in civil and reasonable ways, and the community is learning by listening into the discussion. This is breakthrough stuff. This is huge. It's not a small thing. I have struggled for this for 7 years now, and now it's happening. And I hope that people can let the good into their hearts, because people are feeling down about stocks. That's going to hurt us. That's going to cause the market to continue to go downward unless people's optimism returns. And this is a source of optimism. Let's take advantage of this opportunity, because we are seeing change with a capital C. I am frankly just stunned at this thread. Please check it out yourself. It's bogleheads.org. I can't link here on a podcast. I don't know how to do that quite yet. But the title is Vanguard a Ponzi Scheme? And the first post is dated Sunday, December 28th, 2008, by a guy named Norak, N-O-R-A-K. So I want to go through some of those comments, but before I do that, I want to lay out the basics of why I agree with the premise of this thread. Not so much Vanguard. It's a little unfortunate that he said is Vanguard a Ponzi scheme. The Vanguard is no more a Ponzi scheme than any other mutual fund company, but the proper way to say it is the U.S. stock market a Ponzi scheme? Vanguard is just one mutual fund company, so that element of the title is unfair. But the concept that's being put forward here is very, very, very important. I don't believe anyone should invest $1 in stocks until they understand the ABCs of stock investing. And one of the ABCs is that, yes, the stock market is, at times, a Ponzi scheme. And I'm going to explain why. Then I'm going to quote a little bit from Robert Shiller's book, Irrational Exuberance, where Robert Shiller also lays out the case for why the U.S. stock market is a Ponzi scheme, the respectable Ponzi scheme. Then I'm going to quote some of the comments from the thread and offer my observations. I have to tell you, though, during the time that I was at Vanguard Diehards, I put up some comments that people found very controversial. And I took a lot of heat and ultimately was banned. I don't believe I ever said that the stock market was a Ponzi scheme. I do recall saying that at the Income and Dividends Board at Morningstar. So I did say it, but I don't think I ever said that at Vanguard Diehards. I did not have the nerve. You know, I try to push the barriers. When I'm afraid to say something, my inclination is to say, if you're afraid, then it's important that it be said. Because if you're afraid, there are other people thinking it, and it's taboo, and they feel they shouldn't say it, and it's your job to get it out there. And with this particular one, it's so hot that I didn't dare to say it. And I'm proud of this guy, Norak, for saying it, and I'm proud of the entire community that they handled it in such a mature, positive, spirited way. Offering views on both sides, which is just what you want. It's exactly what you want. But without the acrimony, without the nastiness, without the smear campaigns, without the attempts to shut down the discussion. I don't see that in this thread. Maybe tiny bits, but nothing really out of hand, you know. All right. Why is the stock market a Ponzi scheme? If you understand. And then I want to make two points. One, why the stock market is a Ponzi scheme. And two, why that's actually a good thing. I a real theme of mine in recent months, and it's going to be more so in the year 2009, is I want to stress the positive. Because we are getting ourselves into trouble with all this gloom and doom talk. And there's actually a very positive side to this. And so I'm going to put my focus on that. But first, why is the stock market a Ponzi scheme? That's an incredible claim, isn't it? Well, it's not. What a lot of people are talking about today, the reason this thread came up is because of this Madoff guy. You know, he's being charged with fraud for a fund that he had that, you know, is being referred to as a Ponzi scheme. Now, the concept of a Ponzi scheme is you have a certain number of investors, but you don't have anything of real economic substance going on. And those early investors get paid huge returns, not because they're investing in something that's generating a genuine profit, but because new investors are being recruited. And the new investors are putting money in, and the money from the new investors is going to the old investors. So as long as the number of investors keeps multiplying, keeps growing by some sort of multiple, you know, you start with two, and then you have four, and then you have 16, and then you have, you know, whatever. 50, 60, and then you have 150, and then you have 500, and then you have 2,000. As long as it keeps growing, there are more people making contributions, which allows the earlier level to make huge profits. But of course, the big flaw with a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme, it's sometimes referred to as, the big flaw is sooner or later, the numbers get so huge that you can't keep fueling it, and then the whole thing collapses. And then tons of people end up with nothing. So the early investors in a Ponzi scheme do very, very, very well. It's important that people understand this. People think Ponzi scheme and they just think fraud. And they think, oh, the guy's ripping them off. He's stealing their money. Well, a Ponzi scheme is a ripoff, to be sure. But not everyone loses in a Ponzi scheme. The people who get in early make out like bandits. It's only the people that get in late who lose. The majority lose. More lose than win. That's also important to understand. But they get stuck holding the bag is what it comes to. The mathematics of it just explodes at some point. Well, that's exactly what happens in the stock market. And I wish that people understood this. It would reaffirm your confidence in the stock market if you understood this, because it sounds like a bad thing to say the stock market's a Ponzi scheme, but it's a good thing because it makes stock investing make sense to you. Once you get this, and once you understand what's going on, you can protect yourself from the Ponzi scheme element. And so it may be a Ponzi scheme to others, but it's not to you. You're protected. And then you participate in the good side of the stock market, which is sharing in the profits of genuine business enterprises. You see, the U.S. stock market is a Ponzi scheme. That's a fact. But the U.S. stock market is not only a Ponzi scheme. It is in part a Ponzi scheme, and it is in part an investment. You really are buying shares in companies that are producing genuine profits. So in that regard, it is a false statement to say that the U.S. stock market is a Ponzi scheme. The trouble is, when stocks are overvalued, as they were insanely overvalued from 1995 through the first part of 2008. When stocks are overvalued, they are in part what you're buying when you buy shares of a broad index is you are buying a share in a business enterprise that produces genuine profits, but in part you are buying shares in a Ponzi scheme. It's a mix. It's a mix of two totally opposite things. One, an investment, and something that's a pure, speculative, irresponsible, dangerous gamble. And these two things are being meshed together. And you're putting money down and you're getting a mix. It's hard to separate them. When the stock market is valued at fair value, as it is today, what you're getting is a share in the productivity of U.S. business enterprises. There's no Ponzi scheme today. None. In January of 2000, when the valuation levels were three times what they are today, today the P10 level is 15. In January of 2000, it was 44. Three times. Well, in January of 2000, if you were putting $100 into the stock market, $33 of that was going to buy shares in a business enterprise that were producing real profits. $67 was going to purchase a Ponzi scheme. It was just cotton candy. Nonsense. Air. Hot air, Bogle calls it. Stuff you don't want to own. Junk. Fraud. You know, let's call it what it is. It's fraudulent. For the market to be valued at three times its fair value is an act of fraud. There's no guy running the fraud. You can't say, you know, there's Joe Smith. He's running the U.S. stock market. There is no guy leading it. But collectively, millions of us are working together to defraud ourselves. We are working the fraud, and we pay the penalty for the fraud. And some would say we get the benefits of the fraud. In other words, from 95 through 2000, the returns were insane, and we got the quote-unquote benefit of those returns, but we just borrowed those returns from future years. Now we've been paying it back for the past 9-10 years. So we are working a fraud on ourselves, and the reason why I don't spend a lot of time looking into the Madoff matter is it's small potatoes compared to the U.S. stock market, which is a far, far bigger Ponzi scheme. So I think it's the more important one. It's the one we should be spending our time on. That's what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about look at valuations before you put your money in the stock market, what I'm trying to tell you is check out how much of your money is going to the purchase of a Ponzi scheme and how much is going to the participation in genuine business enterprises. Investing in genuine business enterprises is a wonderful thing to do with your money. That's the route to financial freedom. Investing in a Ponzi scheme is just foolhardy. So if you invest at today's valuation levels, you're investing in something of substance. If you invest it in January of 2000, you're investing a little bit in something of substance, but mostly you're investing in hot air. And so obviously the long-term return can't be the same. And sure enough, look at the stock return predictor. And you'll see that the most likely 10-year return on stocks purchased in January of 2000 was a negative number. It was a negative number because Ponzi schemes don't produce profits. It's all a con. All right? This is so important. You know, this is just, it's very, very basic. It's the most basic question you can ask about stocks is, what are they? And what they are is they are two very different things. They're shares in businesses producing profits, and they are shares in Ponzi schemes. And the only way to know how much of it is real and how much of it is phony is to look at valuations. This is why I oppose passive investing. Passive investing says ignore valuations. Stick with the same stock allocation no matter what, no matter how insane prices get. And I'm saying don't do that. I'm saying no, always pay attention to valuations. Never put $5 into the stock market without looking at the valuation level before you do so. That's my overview. Now I want to read from, just so you know, it's not Rob Bennett, you know, talking crazy talk. I'm just going to read a little bit from Robert Shiller's book, Irrational Exuberance. Robert Shiller is a Yale professor. He's not some guy who posts on the internet like Rob Bennett is. Page 64 of my copy. The subheading is Ponzi Schemes as Models of Feedback and Speculative Bubbles. He says, I'm going to skip, but I'll read certain sections. He says, it is very hard to prove that a simple mechanical price feedback model producing heightened investor attention and enthusiasm is actually a factor in financial markets. Shiller's saying it is, but he's saying it's sort of hard to prove it. He says, we may have a casual impression that investors are showing enthusiasm for investments, in response to past price increases, but we do not see any concrete evidence that such feedback actually affects their decisions. You know, there's nobody that comes out and says, you know, rings a bell and says, hey, it's a Ponzi scheme now. So you've got to sort of, you know, you've got to study it a little bit to understand it. So he says, in order to provide evidence that such feedback mechanisms do play a role in financial markets, it is helpful to look at the example of Ponzi schemes or pyramid schemes, by means of which hoaxers create positive feedback from putative current investment returns to future investment returns. These schemes have been perpetuated so many times that government, see, what he's telling us here is that Ponzi schemes are inherent in human nature. These schemes have been perpetuated so many times that governments have had to outlaw them, yet they still keep popping up. They are particularly interesting since they are, in a way, controlled experiments that demonstrate characteristics of the feedback that cannot be seen so plainly, either in normal markets or in the experimental psychologist laboratory. So he's saying we can learn a lot about how stocks work by looking at Ponzi schemes. And, you know, I'm skipping a lot here. But then he says, as part of their strategy, successful Ponzi schemes present to investors a plausible story about how great profits can be made. Well, that's passive investing, you see. Passive investing is the ultimate plausible story. It all sounds so prudent, it all sounds so right, it all sounds so good. And it is good when valuations are at reasonable levels. But let valuations go to the levels where they went in the mid-1990s and all bets are off. You're into Ponzi scheme territory. You're into dangerous territory for putting your retirement money into stocks. So they present a plausible theory. And there, as I say, this is why I call the U.S. market the respectable Ponzi scheme, because, boy, could you have a more plausible theory than to say you're going to share in the profits of all U.S. businesses? That's as plausible as it gets. That's as respectable as it gets. If only it were true. If only there were no such thing as overvaluation, everything that the passive investors tell us would be true. If there were no such thing as overvaluation. But there is such a thing as overvaluation. There is. That's the flaw in the passive investing model, that the passive investing model starts with the efficient market theory, which starts with the assumption that we should all assume that investors are rational. And if you assume that, overvaluation is impossible. If you assumed investors were rational, prices would always self-adjust. But no one has ever proven this assumption to be true, and no one ever can prove it to be true. It never can be true. So there's always going to be overvaluation sooner or later. And when there is, all of the assumptions of the passive investing model tumble to the ground. He says a critical observation to be made about these examples of Ponzi schemes is that initial investors were reportedly very skeptical about the schemes and would invest only small amounts. My comment here is, your fellow investors are not dumb. This is where I feel people become too cynical. People who criticize the mistakes that have been made by passive investors, people go to one extreme or the other. They either say passive investing is perfect and we can't question it, we can't challenge it, or they become jaded and they say, oh, it's all just lies, it's all a fraud, people are dumb. People aren't dumb. The initial investors were reportedly very skeptical. The same thing's true about the bull market of the 90s. People were skeptical in the early years. Their skepticism, though, wore down over time, and Shiller's going to tell us why. A story about an arbitrage profit opportunity in postage reply coupons, if merely told directly, without the evidence that it had made others a lot of money, would not sound credible enough to entice many investors. Investors do not become truly confident in the scheme until they see others achieving large returns. See, that's the key. From 1982 to 1995, stocks were providing solid returns year after year after year after year after year. There were drops, but the drops didn't last long. The market always recovered and then went up more. And so we learned to trust the market. And by the mid-1990s, when the market had become truly dangerous, just about everybody trusted it. And no one wanted to hear that it was a Ponzi scheme, when it was. When it wasn't a Ponzi scheme, sure, we were skeptical. In 1982, you could have written an article saying the market was a Ponzi scheme. Business Week ran an article in 82 saying that it was called the death of equities. Middle-class investors are not going to put their money in stocks anymore. We've learned that stocks are a dumb investment. That was the attitude when the market was offering just unbelievably great future returns. But once we got to the point where the market was truly dangerous, that all became taboo. You couldn't say that anymore. Because now the market really was a Ponzi scheme. And when the market's not a Ponzi scheme, no one is upset to hear that it is. It just doesn't bother them. It doesn't faze them. They might even agree. But when the market is a Ponzi scheme and people have their retirement invested in it, they don't want to hear it. That's when you get defensiveness. That's when you get anger. That's when you get hate. That's when you get abusive posting. When the market really is a Ponzi scheme, we cannot bear to hear the truth about stock investing. Back to Shiller. That others have made a lot of money appears to many people as the most persuasive evidence in support of the investment story associated with the Ponzi scheme. Evidence that outweighs even the most carefully reasoned argument against the story. He's saying, forget about trying to explain to people that they're going to lose their money. They see other people have made money. That is more persuasive to humans. And it's humans that matter. It's humans that invest. Humans aren't rational. If they were rational, they of course have a rational side to them. But if they were 100% rational, the carefully reasoned arguments would persuade them. But we are not 100% rational, as the efficient market theory assumes. We're emotional. And when we see people making money, we say, yeah, I want to be part of that. Can't somebody come up with some kind of plausible theory so that I can put all my retirement money in this thing, in this Ponzi scheme? And lo and behold, someone does. Someone comes up with the passive investing concept that says, oh, you don't need to change your stock allocation just because prices are at insane levels. You can leave it there. You can leave your money. Let it ride. Take a chance. It's going to be different this time. It's all going to work out okay. That's what passive investing is. Passive investing is a rationalization. It's a rationalization. Then he goes on. He's talking about the stock market. When prices go up a number of times, investors are rewarded sequentially by price movements in these markets, just as they are in Ponzi schemes. There are still many people who benefit from telling stories that suggest that the market will go up further. There is no reason for these stories to be fraudulent. They need only emphasize the positive news and give less emphasis to the negative. The extension from Ponzi schemes to naturally occurring speculative bubbles appears so natural that one must conclude, if there is to be debate about speculative bubbles, that the burden of proof is on skeptics to provide evidence as to why Ponzi-like speculative bubbles cannot occur. See, the burden of proof should be on those saying the stock market isn't a Ponzi scheme. Why wouldn't it be? Given that humans invent Ponzi schemes wherever they can, and the market creates a perfect environment for creating them, why wouldn't the stock market turn into a Ponzi scheme from time to time? No one can answer that question. No one can answer that question. Many of the finance textbooks today which promote a view of financial markets as working rationally and efficiently do not provide arguments as to why feedback loops supporting speculative bubbles cannot occur. In fact, they do not even mention bubbles or Ponzi schemes. These books convey a sense of orderly progression in financial markets, of markets that work with mathematical precision. If the phenomenon are not mentioned at all today, then students are not given any way to judge for themselves whether or not they are in fact influencing the market. This is, you know, Shiller is essentially arguing there for honest posting on investing discussion boards. I don't say that if we allow honest posting, there's not going to be anyone believing in passive investing. I believe quite to the contrary. There are always going to be people who believe in it. But if we allow honest posting, what I say is we get back our integrity, because then people can judge for themselves. They can hear both sides of the story. They can hear what Shiller says. They can hear what Bogle says. They can make up their own minds. But when you ban honest posting on valuations, people only hear one side of the story. That very act is the sort of act that causes overvaluation to get out of control. It's the ban on honest posting, not just at our boards, but in all sorts of ways, you know, throughout the United States in the 1990s, that caused these insane prices that are causing all the suffering we are living through today. All right. Now, I want to go, you know, as much as I can through some of these comments. The starting poster, as I mentioned, is Norak. He says, I've been reading a lot about the Madoff Ponzi scheme, and it has me scared. I have read about many wealthy and intelligent investors putting all their money into this man's funds because they had faith in him, and they lost everything. At the end of the day, this problem was because of faith and trust. People see other people doing something, so they follow them. Just what Shiller said. Now, what if the general stock market is the same? When we invest in Vanguard, aren't we just guided simply by faith that in the long run everything will go well? Aren't we just guided by reverence for John Bogle? I think that's a fair statement. It's I don't agree with the part where he says just. A lot of what Bogle says is solid stuff, so it's not just faith. A lot of what he says is rational. And the rational part, that's not faith, that's substance. But when people say there's no need to change their stock allocation, when valuations go to insane levels, yes, that's 100% faith. I have never seen a rational argument for that. That's passive investing. That's the thing you're passive about when you're a passive investor is your stock allocation. And I have participated on a daily basis in these discussions for close to 7 years. Never have I seen anyone offer a rational case for the passive part of passive investing. The passive investing component is 100% emotion, as far as I can tell. In a Ponzi scheme, this is back to the poster. In a Ponzi scheme, old investors are paid off by new investors who are recruited. How is this any different to the general stock market? I am a holder of some units in a stock market index. Some new investors come in, buy those units. The price of those stocks goes up, the index goes up, and the value of my investments goes up. The money is transferred from new investors to old investors. Even if stock markets always go up in the long run, the people invested first in the stock market make all the money because they are in early and buy when prices are low. The ones who get in late lose all their money when there's a collapse. That's right. I mean, it's an overstatement, but it's generally right. The thrust is correct. And that's the inequality. I'm going to do a separate podcast on the inequality problem. But what happens when you tell people to invest passively is those who get in early on the Ponzi scheme make out like bandits. Those who get in late are wiped out. They lose so much money that they can never recover for decades. That's what we've done. The stock, because of our promotional pass investing, we have redistributed wealth in a totally arbitrary way. Shiller also talks about that in his book. The ones who get in late lose all their money when there's a collapse. This mirrors the Ponzi scheme. It seems as if the stock market is just one Ponzi scheme created after another. This is what creates the business cycle. I agree with that last statement too. I don't think stocks are the only thing that create the business cycle. There are other factors. But the stock market is a big, 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 big factor in the business cycle. The ups and downs, the recessions. If you look at times when stocks have gone to insane price levels, there is always a major recession in the aftermath. Always. We have three times in modern history. The 1920s, we went to insane prices. We experienced the Great Depression. The 1960s, we went to insane prices. We experienced the stagflation of the 70s, which caused Nixon to be removed from power. It was the bad economic environment as much as it was Watergate that got him out in political terms. Watergate was the direct cause, of course. But it was the downturn in the economy that caused a lot of lawmakers to turn against Nixon. And then, of course, Carter was removed. He became a one-term president because of the economic problems in his years. All through the 70s, we experienced bad, bad economic times because of the huge bull market of the 60s. And now we're seeing the same thing again. We had the most insane bull market ever, and now there are responsible people, generally responsible people, talking about a depression in the United States. Why? Because we let that bull market get out of control. People didn't stand up and warn us of what we were doing to ourselves. So the poster here is right. He may overstate it a little bit, but you know, I'm not going to pick on him. He's got the thrust of it correct, and that's what's important. So that's the original poster. Now the second poster has a funny comment. His name is Old Submariner. The last question that the guy asked is, we buy-in holders, are we the victims of a massive scam? Is Vanguard just a giant Ponzi scheme? And the guy, Old Submariner, posts a one-word post, no. Well, that's fine. That's sort of a joke. I think that's funny. Another poster, Richard, says, are you serious? But then he points out, he says, in any event, as Jack Bogle says, stocks generate fundamental returns and speculative returns. Well, that hits it on the head, you see? This is why I say John Bogle is both a rational investor and a passive investor. Bogle describes in his book, and it was reading John Bogle's book that first got me on the path I am in today, learning how the stock market works in the real world. Bogle distinguishes the fundamental return, which is the product of business profits, and the speculative return, which is the Ponzi scheme return. And Bogle will tell you there's a thing called reversion to the mean. Whenever prices go to insane levels, you know for certain there's going to be a price crash. Because if there wasn't, the stock market would stop. It would just collapse. There has to be a price crash when you get to the sort of levels we got to in the 90s. Now, Bogle won't tell you that you should lower your stock allocation, but it's an inevitable logical follow-up to what he says. The logic is just imperative. So Bogle doesn't use the words that you should change your stock allocation, but what he teaches certainly leads a rational investor to that conclusion. And then the last sentence of this guy, Richard, is, you are investing in underlying businesses, the world economy, not just what a greater fool will pay for your shares. Well, that's an absolutely correct statement, but it's not really a statement that denies that it's a Ponzi scheme. What he's saying is, it's partly a Ponzi scheme and partly an investment in a business. And so the key to successful investing is knowing how much of a Ponzi scheme is it when you're thinking of buying shares, so that you know what sort of allocation to go with. Maybe when there's no Ponzi scheme element, like today, you want to go with a high stock allocation. But when the market is two-thirds Ponzi scheme, you want to get your allocation down to maybe 20%. You know, get that allocation down to protect your life savings. Don't just, you know, offer it up in the name of passive investing. The next poster, Peter 71, he says, well, Bogle himself talks about speculative return, and one could indeed argue that that part of it is, quote, Ponzi-ish. Absolutely. Right on point. And then Peter 71 says quite fairly, but that's by no means the whole story. Quite true. So he hit it right on the head. He said it just perfectly. Apprentice 941 says, I don't trust index investing for the general concern you mentioned. By substantial money flowing into a known equity, a known entity that is fixed, index funds, you are doubly exposed to manipulation by market forces, almost too large and too vague to comprehend. Perhaps John Bogle is just a more advanced Bernie Madoff. That is my concern. All right. Now, here's Rob Bennett. You know, I'm going to say something here, and I hope Mel Lindauer and some of my friends at bogleheads.org are listening in, because this is important, and it concerns them. This guy, Apprentice 941, it amazes me. This guy is saying John Bogle's a con man. You know, that's what the man is saying. And it amazes me he's allowed to say it on this board and he hasn't been banned. You know, I never said any such thing. Quite the contrary. I have said Bogle's a hero of mine. Hero of the first rank. And I'm banned. And same thing's true of John D. Craig. John D. Craig loves John Bogle. Microlepsis said many positive things about Bogle. John Walter Russell, absolutely. Many, many positive things. And this individual, Apprentice 941, has not been banned. This makes no sense to me. The people who defended John Bogle are banned. The guy who is, I think, being excessively harsh. I wouldn't ban him. I think the guy should be allowed to say what I think what he's saying is I think it's extreme. But I think he's sincere. I think this guy is really upset, and I think he should be allowed to say it. But if he said it at passionsaving.com, I would permit the post, but I would put up a post defending John Bogle from this charge. I think the charge is not I think it's not right. I don't say it's not fair. I think it's fair. It's within the realm of what's fair, but it's too extreme. John Bogle, he's doing, anyone who promotes passive investing is promoting a Ponzi scheme at times of high valuation. So in that sense, John Bogle is just a more advanced Bernie Madoff. That part's fair, but you know, there's a lot of differences. One big difference is that Bogle points out the difference between speculative return and fundamental return, you know, as was pointed out in that earlier post. So Bogle is letting his readers and listeners know about the Ponzi scheme element. He doesn't spell it out very clearly, and a lot of his wording is ambiguous and unclear. But if you study Bogle, you would be on alert. You would know what was going on. I doubt that that's true of Madoff. I know nothing about Madoff. I'm just going by headlines. So that's a big difference. That's an important difference. And there are other differences. So I think the message I want to get out to my friends at bogleheads.org is, look, we're going to see more and more of this. People have lost huge amounts of their life savings. It's not a joke. We're going to see millions of busted retirements because of the demonstrably false claims put forward in the old school safe withdrawal rate studies. In the event that stocks perform in the future, anything at all, as they've always performed in the past. We're going to see more and more of this. And I'm just telling you, Rob Bennett is going to be out on the front lines defending John Bogle from this sort of charge. Because this sort of charge is not the answer. This sort of charge, I'll tell you where it leads us. It leads us to people losing confidence in the stock market entirely and taking all their money out. And guess where that leads us? Depression. On the earlier occasions when we have gone to insane price levels, we have fallen to a PE10 level of 7 or 8. That's half of where we are today. So if we don't answer these people, we're going to see another 50% price drop over the next 5, 6, 7 years. That could lead us to an economic depression. No joke. We've got to sober up. John Bogle is one of the most important investing analysts who have ever lived. His promotion of the indexing concept is a revolution in stock investing. Nothing less. I may have to do a separate podcast just arguing that point. I've argued the good side of John Bogle earlier, but it's probably worthy of an entire podcast, the indexing revolution. People, if anything, people underestimate what John Bogle has done. They don't overestimate it. So I have always been offended when people have said, Rob, you're so mean to John Bogle. I am offended by those comments because John Bogle is a person for whom I feel a great amount of respect and affection. And John Bogle's name is being dragged through the mud. And I'm not faulting Apprentice 941. He's probably lost a lot of money. He's been hurt. And he's reacting in a totally natural, understandable way. It is largely John Bogle's fault that this man feels this way. So John Bogle has some explaining to do. That's fair enough. But I want this to go in a positive direction. And look, you let me on that board, and I think Mel Lindauer knows that Rob Bennett will argue his case. You know? Mel may not like me, but he knows I will argue my case. You put me on a thread with a guy knocking John Bogle, and I will defend John Bogle. That's a fact. And I won't defend him in a lighthearted way. I will defend him in a serious way. Same thing with, you know, any of the others, Bill Bernstein or Scott Burns or, you know, Jonathan Clements, any of the others. Same thing to a large extent with Mel Lindauer. I won't defend Mel Lindauer's abusive posting, but I will defend this discussion board he's built. I will defend the 20,000 constructive posts he put to that board. You know, the good that he did, which is significant. So, you know, let me at him, Mel. That's the message. Mel, you know, you need some people on that board who are going to take John Bogle's side. And there are people doing it now. But see, they're putting forward the same old BS that they've been putting forward for years now. And everyone's tuning it out. The people who have lost their life savings are tuning it out more and more all the time. You need some serious defenders of John Bogle. And Rob Bennett is a serious defender. I can do that job. So, look, I want to be back there. I want this board. I think this board can change the history of investing. So you put me back there, and I'll do the job, Mel. I'm going to be sending Mel an email one of these days, sometime, you know, within the first, probably the first half of 2009, and we'll see where it goes. But he's taking it the wrong way. If he thinks the way to defend John Bogle is to censor the Rob Bennetts of the world, he's wrong. He's wrong. I am John Bogle's best friend because I could see this coming. I could see that Bogle had made a mistake and he needs to have that mistake corrected. And once the mistake's corrected, it's behind him. You know, that's the way to go. That's the way to go with this. You know, it's the same thing we saw with Money Magazine in the last podcast, number 64. I talked about Money Magazine and the editor over there had this great setup. He said, you know, we were at a conference and basically, you know, he didn't use these words, but he said we were giving the same old BS, you know, the same old BS investing advice, buy and hold stocks for the long run, timing doesn't work, you know, all this BS. And somebody raised his hand and said, is there ever a time when things will have gone so bad that you'll change that worn out, cliche ridden advice? And the guy was a little taken aback and the guy said, you know, maybe we need to look at this. Maybe we need to change the advice we've been putting forward at Money Magazine for 36 years. And I sent the guy an email. You know, listen to the earlier podcast if you want to hear it. But the setup was wonderful. But the conclusion the guy had was absolutely wrong. The conclusion was we have to admit that stocks are more dangerous than we have said they were. Well, that's just going to scare people. That's going to cause people to sell. That's going to cause panic. That's going to cause a depression. What you want to do is not tell people stocks are more risky than we've been telling them. You want to tell them they're less risky, which is the truth. Because if you know that valuations can turn stocks into a Ponzi scheme, all you need to do to protect your investment is lower your stock allocation at times of insane price levels. And you've got the problem licked. Stocks are safe again. Safer than we've ever thought they were in the past. Do you see the magic of abandoning passive investing? Abandon passive investing and all of these concerns melt away in the snow. You know, melt away in the sun. All right, that's my little pitch for, you know, reforming the Bogleheads.org discussion board. I want to see the board succeed. I am a Boglehead. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am the biggest Boglehead there is alive today. I'm more of a Boglehead than John Bogle. It's an amazing reality, but it's true. All right. The next poster says, you know, in response to the comment that perhaps John Bogle is just a more advanced Bernie Madoff, the next poster says, that is foolish talk. Well, I like that comment because the guy's defending Bogle, but there's none of this smear stuff. You see, in the old days, this would have generated a massive smear campaign against the guy who said that. And here they just say, that is foolish talk. Well, that's, you know, how can you argue with that? The guy's just giving his opinion. He says, I think that's foolish. And I can respect somebody who says that. Whereas if he says, you need to be on your meds, you know, your wife must have left you, your parents are alcoholics, you know, that stuff is such a turnoff. And that's what the Bogle defenders have been saying for years now. This guy says that is foolish talk. You can respect that. Another guy, well, I'm going to skip that one. Let's see. The next guy says, why do you single out Vanguard? Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, American Funds, are they not running a Ponzi scheme? That's totally fair, as I mentioned at the start. Vanguard is, you know, no different from any of these others. They're all promoting, anyone who promotes passive investing at the time of insane price levels is promoting investment in a Ponzi scheme. That's Rob Bennett's take. They may not do it knowingly. I don't think most of them understand that's what they're doing. But that's the reality. That's the truth of the matter. According to what evidence is available to us today, you know, according to what we know about stock investing today. You know, none of us are God, so we're all just giving our opinions. Let me see. This guy says, no, the idea that Vanguard or the stock market in general is a Ponzi scheme is silly. He says, but then the same guy says, of course, sometimes the market does exhibit Ponzi-like properties during bubbles, but such situations don't last forever. Well, that's absolutely true. The stock market is not a permanent Ponzi scheme, but it is a Ponzi scheme at certain times. And if you don't want to get people upset and you don't want to get people panicking and you don't want to get people abandoning stocks, you've got to let them know when those times are. Bogle, and I don't want to pick on Bogle, but Bogle and all the others should have been speaking up in the 1990s, telling people, this is bad stuff, people. We are playing with dynamite. Lower your stock allocation, for heaven's sakes. And instead, they were saying, you know, buy and hold. Stocks for the long run. Timing doesn't work. That's what they were saying. All we need to do today is to get that behind us. We need to figure out how to say those words, I was wrong, or at least, I'm not sure. Because once we make that transition, the information about how to invest effectively is out there. Now, here's a guy, Bob Yu, and he says, Norak, I can see you're scared. That's honest of you to say so. Maybe you should get out of equities. Well, again, I respect that comment. I wish that that's the way people had replied in earlier days before the price crash. You know, if you don't like it that someone's pointing out the dangers of stocks and you say, look, you know, I don't agree with you, but we can be friends, that I can respect that. There's no smear campaign here. He's just saying, I see you're scared. He's talking real. He's talking human. Then he says, on the other hand, your comments about Vanguard and John Bogle betray a certain kind of ignorance. And then he says, sorry, there's no other way I can say this. Well, that's just the way I've tried to handle things. I've said in a lot of my posts things like, oh, the stock market, when it's success, you know, when it's insanely overvalued, it's a Ponzi scheme. And then I'll say something like, sorry, I don't mean to make people upset, but I have to say what I believe. I have to say what I believe. What good am I if I don't post honestly? So now Bob, the shoe's on the other foot. Bob Yu is posting honestly. And he's trying to do so in a friendly way. And I applaud that. He says, no one has been more astute about the failings of modern finance than John Bogle. He's the worst enemy of the Madoffs of the world. I wouldn't go that far, but I see what he's getting at. It certainly is true that, you know, as I say, some of Bogle's insights are the most powerful insights around. And so I see what he's getting at. I can't fault the post. Let me see. This guy says, I don't know if you've noticed, but the term index portfolio is an anagram for fool pride toxin. That's a funny comment. This guy, Victoria, this woman, says, Norak is asking the right general questions, but uses inflammatory examples. I agree with that. I think Norak is on the right track. He's a bit inflammatory. But this just amazes me that you've got people. If you go through this thread, what you'll find is about 50% of the people agree with Norak and about 50% don't. Now, when the smear campaigns were being conducted, when that was the technique used to stomp out discussion at this board, in those days, I always would maintain that there were about 80% of the board community wanted honest posting. Even in those days, the majority favored honest posting. But if you had said, do the majority believe in passive investing? Absolutely. 90% believed in passive investing. Most wanted honest posting, but they also believed that they didn't approve of the smear tactics, but they did approve of passive investing. Today, I'm not even sure that's true anymore. It appears to me to be roughly 50-50. A big, 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 big change. He says, in retrospect, this woman says, in retrospect, Madoff was a crook. Is it okay to ask oneself a question? Can I trust John Bogle? It is not okay to dwell on it for more than a minute before answering, yes, I can. Well, you see, that I don't agree with. You can trust him. I think you can trust him in the sense that he's trying to help you, but you can't trust him to get everything right because he's a human like all the rest of us, and he's made some big mistakes. And so you can trust him, you can trust him that his intent is good, but you can't trust him in terms of he's going to get everything right. That's the distinction I draw. What I say is that we should be allowed to question the substance of what John Bogle says. But I can see an argument for limiting, some of these comments. As I say, I think they're on the way they were phrased is on the right side of the line. I don't think they're unfair. If they went too far, if somebody put up a comment like that went too far at passionsaving.com, I would. There's a point at which I would not permit it. The post I see here I think are on the right side of the line, but. I think it's better. It's much more healthy and much more productive and much more positive to say John Bogle made a mistake, than to say John Bogle's a crook. You see, I see a big, big difference there. And so I think some of these comments are on the wrong. They're not on the wrong side of the line, but they're sort of getting there. And I think it's unfortunate. And I think it's because of the censorship and because of the financial losses that have resulted from the censorship that things are heading in that direction. And boy, I sure wish we could get to work pulling things back, because I see this as being a dark place some people are heading into here, and I almost wonder if the owners of this board are losing control of their own board. I don't know. I applaud them for letting the posts. They're doing the right thing by letting people get, release steam. They're doing the right thing. But they've got to start giving better answers. The people trying to defend Bogle need to start giving better answers, and they can't do it unless Bogle starts giving better answers. Somebody's got to talk to John Bogle. Somebody's got to talk to John Bogle and say, look, this is what people are talking about. Please don't give us that old line about buy and hold, stay the course, timing doesn't work. Please, please talk seriously. These are serious times, serious financial losses. People need to hear the real story. Starting here, starting now. That's Rob Bennett's take. This guy comes in and says Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. I won't get into that because it's sort of off the point, but there's a lot of discussion of that in the thread, and I think Social Security is to a large extent a Ponzi scheme. Someone said, are all government programs Ponzi schemes? No. A lot of government programs are just, they're welfare schemes. We made a decision. We want to provide welfare for, the poor or the elderly or whatever it is. That's not a Ponzi scheme. That's just, it's a legitimate function of government to help the needy. But the reason why Social Security really is a Ponzi scheme is that it was marketed as an insurance program. People think it's an insurance program. They think they're putting money in and they're going to get their own money back, when in reality, that money is not held. That the money you get from Social Security is money coming from people working today. The way the program was financed is that small amounts of money were put in the early days, so those people had a windfall, and then the people that come later get ripped off. They're never going to get their money back. It's not an insurance scheme. There's nothing wrong in the fact that it's a welfare scheme, except for the fact that it was marketed otherwise. So there was deception involved. So in the case of Social Security, I think it's a fair comparison, but not in the case of most other government programs. I see a big difference. Social Security was missold. Now, somebody attacked Apprentice 941. He's the guy that made the strong, harsh comment about Bogle, and he defends himself, and I'll read what he has to say. He says, truly crazy. He says, the guy, somebody said he's crazy, and he says, then crazy I am. Truly crazy is listening to an old, accomplished businessman and founder of a multi-billion dollar investment empire, a man for whom many tens of thousands of investors place on a pedestal, telling people in the first quarter of 2008 to, quote, buy and hold, stay the course, maintain your asset allocation, don't try timing the market, while himself owning enough personal wealth that if the market crashed 80%, could still live a comfortably wealthy lifestyle. Truly crazy is the diehard Boglehead investors on this site who in the fourth quarter of 2008 found themselves as de facto market timers and bolted to the sidelines one way or another. Crazy as drinking the grape flavor aid. Now that, I think, is a fair comment. That guy is hard. His words are hard, but he's telling it the way it is. A lot of these people who have been preaching passive investing for years now are now timing the market because they're scared. And the people who have looked at the historical data and understand that this has been going on since the market opened for business, that passive investing has always been a disaster, warned people of this, that it was an emotional strategy and that the emotion was going to hurt people, and that extreme emotion in one direction causes extreme emotion in the other direction. So I think his comments are healthy, and I'm glad to see they're up there. I'm glad to see the guy sticks up for himself. I think the guy's a little harsh, but his comments are legitimate. His comments are not over the line any more than the people defending Bogle's comments are over the line. I would take a more middle ground position, but if I had lost a lot of money, maybe I'd feel different. I didn't have any money in stocks to lose. I took it out in 96, so I haven't suffered that hurt. So I think it's a perfectly understandable reaction. Then the guy Wolf 755 says, crazy would be to take the advice of anyone you hear on the radio, see on TV, or read on this site. I don't like that comment at all, because what he's saying is that everything on the site is a joke. You can't take it serious. And this site is for investors. So there should be ethical standards that apply. And if there are ethical standards, then people should be able to take some of the things they say seriously. They shouldn't take one person's comment as gospel, but they should be able to trust that the people are sincere. And when you see smear campaigns, you really have to question it, don't you? Are these people of integrity? Fair question. So I don't like that comment. And the second comment he makes is, crazy would be to change asset allocation at all if you chose the correct plan in the first place. Again, don't like that comment at all. That's pure passive investing. If you chose the right stock allocation at a time of moderate prices, I say it would be crazy to stick to the same allocation at insane prices. Of course you want to change your stock allocation. I don't think that poster understands that. I think he believes what he's saying, and he's not abusive. His comment here isn't abusive. He's expressing his viewpoint strongly, but legitimately. But we need to have people responding to him and pointing out the other point of view if we're going to have a board of integrity. Then they get off on the Madoff thing, and I'm not going to go into that because I think the Madoff stuff is small potatoes compared to the general U.S. market. you know, being a Ponzi scheme at times of insane price levels. Disco Bunny 1979 says, there were some comments here I don't fully understand, but I'm going to read them because they're sort of interesting. They sound like they're saying something interesting. He says, it's in a way like going to an AA meeting. We are too powerless to control our weakness and must believe in a higher power, and therefore, in order to get over addiction, we must give in to this higher power because we are just human. That's my kind of talk. He's reducing things to human to the human level. Then he says, index investing is similar in that one gives their money over to the higher power of an index because we are too weak to make decisions for ourselves, and that the market, aka the world, is such a bad place that we need a vehicle that can make the playing field level for those of us that want to make money, but need to control our addiction to making money in a reasonable way. He's getting at something important here. By making Vanguard or Bogle cult-like, Bogleheads, it does give an impression that it could be nothing more than a fad, that the returns of the past are not a guarantee of future results, that in itself is reason to question the validity of handing all of one's money to a singular concept strategy, that no other concept, like only believing in Jesus, will get you to the promised land. Well, I think that guy's getting at something important. And what he's getting at is that stock investing is a scary thing, and there's always an element of faith in it. And I think that's the reason why passive investing has become so dogmatic, that people put all their faith in it. They put all their retirement money in it. They don't really understand it. They have a foggy understanding, but not at all a sure grasp. And when it's questioned, it's like you're questioning their entire life. And so they can't bear to have people cite the historical data showing that passive investing can never work in the real world. And I think what he's saying is, look, to some extent, we need to put faith in things like passive investing. It's healthy. And I think that's right. But, you know, there's that old saying that Reagan had, trust but verify. You know, trust what the passive investors say, but check it out too. And if you find holes in it and they can't answer the questions, then you've got to pull back. And that's the situation we have. We have people that tried to come up with a wonderful investing strategy, and they did come up with a lot of wonderful aspects. Then they made some mistakes, and then they got defensive about the mistakes, and they've tried to cover up the mistakes. And that's the real disaster. The disaster is not the mistakes. The mistakes were just human. But the cover-up has been an unmitigated disaster. And I very much would like to see us get off of that dark road and onto something more constructive and positive and optimistic and helpful. This guy, N42, says, I can see the similarity to a Ponzi scheme, but it is not actually a Ponzi scheme. What it is supply and demand for paper shares. It's a supply and demand thing. If continuing demand is a Ponzi scheme, then so is the price that residential homes sell for, or art or gold or anything. Well, if he's saying that any investment can turn into a Ponzi scheme, it's certainly true that that potential is always there. But it's a particular problem with stock investing because, as I indicate in the title to this podcast, stock investing is the respectable Ponzi scheme. So what's happened is a lot of people have let their guard down. A lot of people who would be, you know, if some stranger came up to them and tried to promote a Ponzi scheme, they would be nervous. And they'd say, I'm not going to put my money in that. But they look at all these respectable, honest, upright, smart people saying stocks for the long run, and they think, yeah, well, this is okay. This is different. But stock market investing can be investing in a Ponzi scheme just as much as anything else if valuations get too high. So you never want to tell people to ignore valuations. You want to tell people, learn about valuations before you put your first dollar in the stock market. That's the key. Don't ever go along with passive investing, which says ignore valuations. Do invest in stocks, but be careful. Here's a guy, Big H. I like this comment. I've had this suspicion about stocks from the get-go. Dividends can easily be paid from borrowed money that shouldn't have been given to the company in the first place because the credit agencies are biased. Even with these reservations in mind, I would still invest up to 30% of my money in stocks. I am 28, just in case it is legit, not a penny more. What I love about that comment is there are a lot of people out there who have had doubts about this crazy passive investing stuff from the beginning, and they were all silenced during the huge bull market. We had a taboo about asking questions, you know, about all these absurd, far-fetched claims. And all these people were silenced. And it creates the impression that everybody agrees with the claims. So the experience I had is when I first started posting about the flaws in the safe withdrawal rate studies, we had hundreds of people at the Motley Fool Board saying, "This is wonderful, Rob. I've had these doubts in my mind from the beginning, and you're the first person who's ever articulated it for me. Thanks, man." And then the smear campaign started. Then we had these ruthless, abusive posters burning the board to the ground and traveling all over the internet to burn other boards to the ground and blogs and all this sort of thing so that people couldn't hear this message. And we need to hear these people. I don't think the guy's right. I don't agree with him. You know, that he should only have 30% of his money in stocks. I would go with a higher stock allocation at today's prices. So I don't agree. But I think it's real healthy that we hear from him, because there are people out there saying you should have 100% in stocks today, and I don't agree with that either. And we need to hear both sides so that the people in the middle can form their own opinion. If you don't let all viewpoints go forward, then none of us can invest effectively. We can't. We learn by listening to other people. And we need to listen to all the other viewpoints, not just this tiny little segment of passive investing dogmatics. We need to hear the skeptics, and we need to treat them with respect. We need to encourage these people to post more, because there are a lot of them out there. They're willing to share what they've learned, but they don't want to be smeared. They don't want to be put through the ringer just because they take time out of their day and share their insights with us. So that needs to change. Now, another guy responds to that. He says, "This is disturbing. If you are 28 and not independently wealthy, you belong in more equities than 30%. I don't think it's legit that you shouldn't be investing in equities at all. Conspiracy theory a la mode." Now, that's not abusive, but it is getting to the point where it's, he's ridiculing the guy. And I was glad to see some people jumped in and defended the guy. And that's something you just never, ever saw. Sometimes, but very rarely, did people jump in and defend their fellow community members when they would be ridiculed for making a statement like that. And now we're seeing that. It does my heart good. So this guy jumps in. He says, "Why? If he doesn't have the willingness to do so, maybe he's made the decision he'll live on less, provided equities do outperform tips by a large margin during his investment lifetime. No guarantees, we all know. In my opinion, willingness trumps ability and need." So the guy's defending the guy. And boy, that's great, because that makes the guy feel comfortable in posting again. And we need to hear his viewpoint. The community doesn't work unless all viewpoints are represented. And all viewpoints, people holding all viewpoints feel welcome to post. This guy says, "Bogleheads need to stay objective and not have tunnel vision. I've thought about completely being out of stocks. I still have some hope that I am wrong and everyone else is correct, but not enough to bet 70% of my savings. Get real, folks." I wish we had people like that. I wish we had permitted people like that to post back in the days before the price crash. We could have saved millions if we had allowed honest posting back before the price crash. Why do we do this to ourselves? You know, the only people we hurt when we ban honest posting is ourselves. It's a lose, 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 lose. There are no winners. So then somebody made fun of Apprentice 941. They said, "This makes no sense at all." And 941 comes back with a good answer. He says, "Good. Keep blindly investing in index funds then. Index fund investing is a simple solution to a complex problem. You can think of it as being very similar to bloodletting as a treatment modality for systemic infection." Well, I wouldn't say that about index fund investing, but I would say it about passive investing. Passive investing is a mindless solution to a very real problem. And what all investors should be spending most of their time doing is figuring out, what should my asset allocation be? That's the most important question you will ever decide as an investor. And what passive investors do is they say, "I'm not even going to try. I'm going to give up before the game starts. I'm going to just go passive," which means to go mindless. And what a terrible, terrible mistake. So, I think I've gone over enough comments. I think wonderful thread, We're making real progress. Let's keep at it. Let's move forward. Let's be positive. Let's be constructive. Let's warn people that while stocks are a wonderful investment class, and we want to reassure people, we want to get people's confidence back, people need to know that stock investing at times of insane price levels truly is investing to a large extent in a Ponzi scheme. Not entirely, never entirely, but at the top of the bull market, stocks were 2/3 Ponzi scheme, 1/3 an investment of genuine value. And we need to get that message out, because that will reassure people. People will then understand, now I understand why I lost all my retirement money. And then they will feel confident. If we give people the truth, they will feel confident about getting back into stocks at times of reasonable prices, which is where we are now. So the only way to win people's confidence back is to start talking straight. And boy, did the Bogleheads.org community do that in that particular thread. I applaud everyone who participated. I applaud the owners of the board. I applaud Mel Lindauer. Good luck with your investing strategies. You take care.